very evening, you mightily minister to the church in Jesus' name. Our brethren who are not yet here, who are on their way coming, Lord, we pray that hasten their movements and bring them here safely for this meeting in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that this very evening there will be demonstration of your power. The word of God will come with mighty conviction, and every heart will be melted through the power of the word of God in Jesus' name. Bless us mightily tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you because we know that you are here in our midst already. We ask, O Lord in heaven, you will visit each and every one of us in a definite way. And at the end of tonight's Bible study, we'll have every reason to praise your name in Jesus' name. Thank you because you've answered our prayer, for we've prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen, amen, amen. Wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen, amen, amen. And honor be unto our God. Amen, amen, amen. And glory and honor, power and might. Hallelujah for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Omnipotent reigneth. Praise the Lord. Omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for the Lord God, omnipotent reigneth. I know he loves me better, whatsoever may be, I will follow him. I will follow him. Better, whatsoever may be, I will follow him. Will you follow him? Whatsoever may be, I will follow him. He loves me better. I will follow him. The rock that never fails, let me hide in you, let me hide in you, in you there is power. Let me hide in you. The rock that never fails, let me hide in you, let me hide in you there is strength. Let me hide in you. The rock that never fails, I'm hiding in you, I'm hiding in you there is joy. The rock that never fails, I'm hiding in you, I'm hiding in you there is grace. I'm hiding in you. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Leave it there. He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, leave it there. Leave it there. And leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, and leave it there. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. The man of this world may let you down, but Jesus never fails. He will never fail. Jesus never fails. He can never fail. The man of this world may let you down, but Jesus never fails. He can never fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. The man of this world may let you down, but Jesus never fails. The man of this world may let you down. Jesus, the rock, the solid rock. Jesus, the solid rock. My soul has found a refuge in Him. Jesus, the solid rock. The solid rock. Jesus, the solid rock. Jesus, the solid rock. Jesus, the Prince, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. My soul has found a refuge in Him. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. My soul has found a refuge in Him, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Word, the Living Word. Jesus, the Living Word. My soul has found a refuge in Him, Jesus, the Living Word. My soul has found a refuge in Him, Jesus, the Living Word. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. I can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. I can face tomorrow. Because I know He holds the future, with Jesus in my boat, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in my boat, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in my boat, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in my boat, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, at the storm. Smile at the storm, smile at the storm. I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in our boats, we can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in our boats, we can smile at the storm, smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. With Jesus in our boats, we can smile at the storm. With Jesus in your boat, you can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in your boat, you can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, at the storm. Smile at the storm, smile at the storm. I've got peace like a river, peace like a river, peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, peace like a river, peace like a river in my soul, peace like a river in my soul, peace like a river. Peace like a river in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, joy like a fountain, joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, joy like a fountain, joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got hope as an anchor, hope as an anchor, hope as an anchor in my soul. I've got hope as an anchor, hope as an anchor, hope as an anchor in my soul, in my soul. Hope as an anchor, hope as an anchor in my soul. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength, my strength, is my strength, is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He puts me on his shoulders and I fear no more. He puts me on his shoulder and I fear no more. He puts me on his shoulder and I fear no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength, my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. In all my journey, Jesus is with me. I am not alone, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Jesus is with me. I am not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone in all my journey. Jesus is with me. I am not alone. I'm not alone. In all my journey, Jesus is with me. I am not alone. I believe, yes, Lord, I believe, yes, Lord, I believe. It is well with me. Is it well with you?
It's well with you in Jesus' name. You are welcome to the Bible study tonight in Jesus' name. This is the Bible study bringing together people from Ajegunle, Bagada, Ketu, and Shomolu. It's a pleasure to welcome those who are coming to study with us for the very first time. So if you are here this evening for the first time to study with us, can you please rise up on your feet for recognition and for a pastor's greeting? You are seated, please. Can you stand up? Want to identify you, want to recognize you, want to give you a special greeting from our pastor. You are welcome in Jesus' name. Yes, the ushers are beside you there. They will give you special slips to give in the information needed properly so that we can be of further help to you. So please collect those slips from the usher and then fill them properly. AGS is very happy to have you in our midst tonight, and he wants you to continue studying with us so that the Lord will bless you mightily in Jesus' name. Yes, we have three important meetings weekly in the church. On Sundays, we have our Sunday worship service by 8 o'clock. Then on Mondays like this, we have a Bible study by 6 p.m. in the evening. Then Thursday as well, we have our Thursday revival meeting by 6 p.m. As you join us in our various districts for this meeting, the Lord will bless you wonderfully in Jesus' name. Rise up now as we offer tithes and offerings. The Bible says in the book of Malachi 3, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. So please, stand up now, bring your tithes, your offering, raise them up, as we offer them. Lead them out for prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming to the house of God. Thank you for the privilege of coming with our offerings. We are also asking, Lord, that as we have brought this offering before you, receive and bless us abundantly in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that as we give continually, you will bless us abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. The ushers are passing, the pastors are passing the bags across you. Drop in your tithes and offering. The bags are passing across you, please. Drop in your tithes and offerings. Dropping your tithes in the bags that are passing around you. We remain standing as we take Gospel Hymns and Songs, number 96. Gospel Hymns and Songs, number 96. Master, the tempter is raining, the billows are tossing high. The sky is overshadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatened, a grave in the angry deep? Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep over my sinking soul. And I perish, dear Master. Oh, hasten and take control. Master, the terror is over. The elements swiftly rest. Earth's sun in the camp's legs is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm stole swift, or demons or men, whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the mass of ocean and depth and skies. The hour shall swiftly obey my will. Peace be still. Peace be still. The hour shall swiftly obey my will. Peace. Peace be still.
Today we're going to continue with our Bible reading. But before we read, shall we just have a moment of prayer? Father, we're asking that you will open our eyes of understanding as we read your word today. We're asking that relevant passages that really speak to our present needs and problems, spiritually and physically and materially, you will impress upon our hearts. Be with us, enlighten us, instruct us, teach us as we read together now. In Jesus' name, I pray. We'll continue with the reading now.
The Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Psalm 128. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Psalm 129. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous, he hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up. Wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish.
You have just listened to the Bible reading, and we need to take whatever we have learned to the Lord in prayer. Will you all rise up, please? Talk to the Lord in prayer. You've seen a commandment, a warning, an example, an instruction to obey, a promise to claim. Pray for grace that you will do as you have learned in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. I welcome everyone to our Bible study tonight in Jesus' name. And I pray that the study of today will be beneficial to everyone. Another amen. Father, we do thank you for the Bible study. Thank you for bringing us together for something good. We pray, Lord, that you open the way into the kingdom for everyone tonight in Jesus' name. For those who have entered, we pray we'll go deeper into the things of God. For those who are yet to enter, we pray that without delay, they will come into the kingdom in Jesus' name. And bless all of us together. And do your will in every life. In Jesus' name we pray. We're looking at Mark chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 26. I'm reading from verse 30. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man could cast seed into the ground. And then in verse 30, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? From those two verses of scripture, you see that Jesus Christ spoke about the kingdom. Actually, he came and he preached and he taught and he was crucified and he suffered and he raised disciples for one solitary purpose: to call us into the kingdom of God. That's what you find in verse 26. So is the kingdom of God. Verse 30, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? After his resurrection, his message to the disciples was still centered on the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 1, we're reading from verse 1 to verse 3. Both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the disciples whom he had chosen. Look at verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. After his resurrection, all those days before his ascension that he appeared to them, he was speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom. We hear from Christ, we learn from Christ, we repent and turn unto Christ, and we believe on Christ, we seek him so as to become citizens of the kingdom of God. And we remain, we abide in the word he's teaching us so that we can retain our citizenship in the kingdom until he comes again. Without entering the kingdom, all we know, you might know the Bible from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. If you don't enter the kingdom, all is vain. Without entering the kingdom, all we do, you might give your body to be burnt, and you might worship every day, and you might give all your goods to feed the poor. Without entering the kingdom, all is vain, all we possess. Anything you have, you can have all the money in all the banks of the world. And you can have all the positions of honor and recognition in the country or in the whole world. Without entering the kingdom, everything will be vain. You can attain to any privilege on earth. You can attain to any honor or award on earth. Without entering the kingdom, all will be in vain. Look at that Mark again. And I'm reading now from verse 11. Mark chapter 4. And we're reading from verse 11. It says in verse 11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To many people who read the Bible, the kingdom is a mystery. And to many people who darken the doorsteps of a church, to them, the kingdom is a mystery. And to many people who even say they have studied the Bible, they have learned the Bible, the mystery of the kingdom is not known unto them. That's why we cannot gloss over, pass over, rush over the kingdom and then go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and finish studying the gospel of Mark and then go to another thing, because the kingdom is very important. It tells us in Mark chapter 1, reading from verse 14. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. You see that? His concern is the kingdom of God. And the purpose of his preaching is that we enter into the kingdom of God, preaching the kingdom of God. Verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God, does it again, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. That's how to enter. It tells us in Mark chapter 12, reading from verse 32. Mark chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 32. In verse 32, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, the scribe called Jesus master. And he said, he also affirmed what Jesus had said. He says, well, master, thou hast said the truth. He recognized the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. Look at how far he has gone. He recognized the existence of God. He recognized the uniqueness of God. He recognized the most high position and place of God. And then he says, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength. Look at that. He says, he recognizes the great commandment in the word of God, that to love God with all the heart and all the understanding and all the soul and all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. What do you think of a man like that? A man that says he believes in the existence of God. A man that says he knows that Jesus Christ is Lord and Master. A man that says we have to love him, the Almighty God, with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and then to love our neighbor as herself. What do you think of a man like that? Verse 34, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. You have not entered yet. Because you don't enter with your head, you enter with your heart. You don't enter with the truth doctrinal, you enter with a transformation of heart. It says, you've answered well. Everything you've said is correct. And I want to tell you, you are not in the kingdom yet, but you are not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that dost ask him any question. Tonight we're looking at Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. And I'm talking to you, and we're learning on ascertaining our citizenship in the kingdom of God. Ascertaining, making sure that we have our citizenship in the kingdom of God. Ascertaining your own citizenship in the kingdom of God. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the priority of entering the kingdom of God. The kingdom is established. The kingdom has been proclaimed. The kingdom has been revealed unto us in the pages of the New Testament. And Jesus Christ has exalted that kingdom. And he has opened the door to that kingdom. And now the priority number one thing in every life is that we enter into the kingdom of God. The priority of entering the kingdom of God. Point number two, the pain of exclusion from the kingdom of God. If it so happens that somebody who has gone to seminary and has studied the Bible in English, in Greek, in Hebrew, in all the original languages, and yet if he misses the kingdom, the pain of exclusion from the kingdom of God. If it so happens that somebody comes for Bible study every week and he learns the Bible, underlines the Bible, repeats the Bible, if he misses the kingdom of God, the pain of exclusion from the kingdom of God. If somebody happens to be a teacher of the word, a preacher of the word, a worker that is helping other people to know the word, if that teacher, if that preacher, if that person misses the kingdom of God, there is the pain of exclusion from the kingdom of God. Point number two, the pain of exclusion from the kingdom of God. Point number three, our privilege in the everlasting kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has an earthly side. The kingdom of God has an heavenly side. That heavenly side is the eternal nature of the kingdom. And when we get to that eternal kingdom, our privilege in the everlasting kingdom of God. Point number one. Tell me number one over there. That's good. Tell me with preacher's voice. The priority of entering the kingdom of God. Come back to Mark chapter 4 again. Reading from verse 26. In verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. He said, it's a reality. It has an existence. It has an establishment. So is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. Is the farmer a reality? Yes. Is the seed a reality? Yes. Is the ground a reality? Yes. Is sowing and reaping a reality? Yes. He said, so real then is the kingdom of God. So factual is the kingdom of God. and so well known is the kingdom of God. It says, so is the kingdom of God. Look at verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? If you are comparing likening one to the other, if number one is real, that we are comparing with number two will be real. It's still telling us the kingdom of God is real. Do farmers give priority to sowing? Yes, they do, to feed their nation. It says then, we need to give priority to the kingdom of God. Tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first, give it priority, make it number one in your life. Look at the things you do in life, and the places you go in life, and the things you practice in your life. Do you sleep? Yes, you do. You eat? Yes, you do. You work? Yes, you do. You go to college? Yes, you do. You have certificate? Yes, you do. You try to get married? Yes, you do. And you are desirous of having children? Yes, you do. But it says all those things are not as important individually or collectively as the kingdom of God. It says the number one thing you have to think about, the number one thing you have to pursue, is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You could have all those things I spoke about and many things more and yet miss heaven. If you're going to get to heaven and you're going to spend eternity in the kingdom of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. They'll come later, but seek ye the first the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, reading from verse 1. John chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 1. It says in verse 1, that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. A ruler of the Jews. He knew his Old Testament. That's not enough. He knew the covenant of God. That's not enough. He had a position among the rulers of the religious Israel. That's enough. Then the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. My brother, my sister, that's good, but that's not enough. There are many people that say, I believe Jesus is a great teacher. That's good, not enough. I believe that Jesus was the founder of the greatest religion on earth, the founder of Christianity. That's good, but that's not enough. I believe that Jesus is a great prophet. That's good, that's not enough. I believe that Jesus is a miracle worker. He healed my body, and he provided for me, and he gave me success. That's good, that's not enough. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I believe in miracles. That's good. That's not enough. The priority of entering the kingdom of God, that you believe in miracles, you believe in prayer, you believe God can do all things. Until you enter into the kingdom of God, you have not got enough. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You've gone far, but not far enough. You believe Jesus came from God, you have not gone far enough. You believe he did great miracles, you have not gone far enough. You believe that these things he has done, they are not by Beelzebub. As some other people say, this is a miracle from God, that's good, not enough. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4. Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He didn't understand the priority of the faith. All he knew about the Sanhedrin, about the history of the Israelites, all he knew about the Sabbath, all he knew about the commandments, they're not enough. And the man was totally ignorant about the number one thing that will make him have the evidence, the experience of the kingdom of God. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That shows you then how important this is. It's the number one thing. The kingdom of God is the government and the dominion of God. The kingdom of God is the reign of God. The kingdom of Christ is the reign of Christ. When Christ enters into a life and he reigns in that life and he controls that heart and he controls that life, that is the rule, that is the control, that is the reign of Christ on that person. That's the kingdom. There is a present phase of the kingdom where God reigns and he has dominion in the heart of man. Then there is an eternal phase of that kingdom, a future phase of that kingdom, the universal eternal kingdom. I want you to look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, reading from verse 47. See how important the kingdom is, the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 9, verse 47. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. See what Jesus is saying? Eyes are very important to man. And yet he says, if your eye offends you, if your eye makes it your offend, if somebody who is like your sight, somebody like your eyes, somebody that will pave the way for you, somebody that will make a way for you, somebody that will lead you to your desired destination, that's your eye. If he causes you to offend and is going to make you miss the kingdom of God, it says, separate from him. That's how important the kingdom of God is. And he said in another place, if your hand that will achieve success, your hand that will give you prosperity, your hand that will make you have everything you desire on earth, if that hand causes you to offend and separates you from the kingdom of God, cut it off. it is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one hand than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Anybody so important in your life, like an eye? Anybody so important in your life, like a hand? Anybody so important in your life, like a foot that carries you and moves you and takes you to the place you want to be, and yet it's an offense, and yet it's cutting you away from the kingdom, and yet it's making you to despise the kingdom, look down on the kingdom, and it's making you to be separated from the kingdom of God? Look at that 47 again. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Anybody there that has a giver, breadwinner, always giving you money, always giving you livelihood, always providing this and that, the only problem is he demands a pay for what he gives you. And the pay, he knows you don't have money, that's why he gives you money. He knows you don't have food, that's why he gives you food. He knows you don't have any support, that's why he gives you support. But he demands that you'll pay back with your body. Commit sin with him. Be a sin partner, so that he'll keep on giving you what he has been giving you. That's the eye Jesus was talking about. Better to go hungry and get to heaven than having this person supply your need, and then you go to hell forever and ever. You will not go to hell. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I'm reading from verse 15. It says in verse 15 of Luke chapter 16, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. There are people, so-called Christians. There are people, so-called religious people. They work hard at being appreciated by their fellow men. They work hard at being honored by their local church. But they do not take care of their inward righteousness, private life. It says, you justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Every man cuts the cord that pulls him back, that ties him down, and he separates himself from anything that will pin him down, and he presses into the kingdom of God. The kingdom is so important. That's why you give it priority. Three things. Number one, the priority of entering the kingdom. The priority of entering the kingdom. John chapter 6, reading from verse 26. John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Jesus said, you're searching for me, you're looking for me, you're running after me, you're calling me, you're asking me questions, you're coming in my presence because you ate those loaves and you're filled. Verse 27, labor not for the meat that perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life. What do you serve God? What do you come to church? What do you read the Bible? Why do you pray? Why are you seeking God? Is it because of the material things of the world, the mundane things in the world? Jesus said, that's not wise. Labor not for the meat that perishes, but labor for the meat that endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him as God the Father sealed. It says, seek the salvation, the righteousness, the kingdom that only Christ can give. Number one, the priority. Number two, the point of entry. The point of entry into the kingdom. How do we enter? At what point do we enter? Did we enter the kingdom when we were born into the world? No. Did we enter the kingdom the day we bought a Bible and we started reading the Bible? No. Did we enter the kingdom when we turned over a new leaf and we tried to be our best? No. Did we enter the kingdom when we chose a Bible-believing church and we said, that's my church, I'll be going there? No. Did we enter the kingdom when we surrender ourselves and be a worker in the church? No. When did we enter the kingdom? The point of entry into the kingdom. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The point of entry is the point of being born again. That's the day you turned away from sin and you turned to the Savior. That's the day you turned away from darkness and you turned to the light. That's the day you made Jesus Christ your Savior, your Redeemer. And because you believe on what he did for you on the cross of Calvary, he washed your sins away, he forgave all your sins, and he set you free to go and sin no more. Number one, the priority of entering the kingdom. Number two, the point of entry into the kingdom. Number three, the purpose of enduring in the kingdom. We don't come in and go out of the kingdom. We don't crawl in and crawl out of the kingdom. We come in, we stay. We come in, we abide. We come in, we continue. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Acts chapter 14, I'm reading from verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue. And exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation, trial, trouble, enduring, enter into the kingdom of God. Enter into the kingdom of God. The priority of entering in, the point of entry into the kingdom, the purpose of enduring in the kingdom. Luke chapter 14, chapter 22. Luke chapter 14, sorry, chapter 22, verse 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, Christ telling his own disciples, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. You have continued with me, and you have endured, and you're still enduring. And so I appoint you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, in my future kingdom, and sit on the throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. To enter the kingdom and to continue in the kingdom till the end, till the eternal phase of the kingdom, we must remain, that kingdom must remain the priority of our lives at every moment. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Ah, you see that amen now? He will preserve us. He will keep us until the heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Point number two. The pain of exclusion from the kingdom of God. We would have said everybody will enter into the kingdom of God, that final kingdom, because of the love of God, because of the mercy of God, because of the grace of God. Actually, he wants everyone to enter the kingdom. But, unfortunately, there will be people who will be excluded from the kingdom. Look at Matthew chapter 7, reading from verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the will of God? Many people think of the will of God. So and so was revealed to me that I will marry. I don't like her, and I don't appreciate her, but I saw her in the dream. All right, God, I accept. I marry her. They think, final, doing the will of God, they're going to heaven. Some people think, what's the will of God? Somebody came to prophesy to me, and he told me this and that. And he said, you must do this. I didn't actually see that way. But he is a prophet, and he prophesied to me. I accept. They think that's the will of God. Look at what Jesus is saying. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord. There are many people who pray. There are many people who fast. There are many people call Jesus Lord. But look at verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. They still keep on calling him Lord until they die, even after death. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Yes, you did. And in thy name cast out devils? Yes, you did. And in thy name have done many wonderful works? Yes, you did. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They call him Jesus, they walk iniquity. They call him Lord, they walk iniquity. They read the Bible, they walk iniquity. They preach to other people, they walk iniquity. They're prophesying, but they're walking iniquity. They are not free from sin. They don't believe that you can be free from sin. They sin from day to day. They sin in the public, they sin in the private. They sin in little, little things, and they sin in big, big things. And yet, they're religious. And then Jesus said, I'll profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I pray you'll not be a worker of iniquity. Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, reading from Luke chapter 13, verse 23. In Luke chapter 13, verse 23. Look at what it says. Then said one unto him, Lord, called him Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in. Don't worry about other people. At their few that will be saved, you strive, endeavor to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, that means the opportunity to enter is not forever. There's a time the door into the kingdom will be shut. A person that continues in sin and he sins with impunity, a time comes when the door of grace is shut. That's what Jesus said. It says, when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say, I know you not whence ye are. Look at this. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence. When you multiply the bread to feed 5,000, well, what there? We ate part of that broken miracle bread. When you fed 4,000 miraculously, we were there. We ate part of that miraculously provided bread. And then it says in verse 26, and thou hast taught in our streets. You brought your crusade to our streets. You brought your public teaching to our seat, to our street. We were there. We heard you. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, tell me, all ye workers of iniquity. If the Bible study does not cleanse us from iniquity, it has not done what it ought to do. If the Bible study or the teaching of the word does not separate us from sin, from iniquity, it will profit us nothing. On the final day, he said, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out, cast out. The question is, why do people miss the kingdom of God? The question is, people like you and I, that read the Bible, that study the Bible, people like you and I, that know the name of God, people that have heard about Christ, why do they miss the kingdom of God? Number one, delay. Delay. They have heard, like you are hearing tonight, and they know it's essential, it's important to be saved, to be born again. Why are they not born again? Don't they know it takes repentance? They know. Don't they know all you have to do is turn away from sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? They know. Why do they miss the kingdom? Delay. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while it's near. But because while it's near, while the opportunity is there, they delayed, that's where some of them miss. You have heard of the five foolish virgins. Like the wise virgins, they knew that the Lord was coming. Like the wise virgins, they went out to meet him. Like the wise virgins, these foolish virgins had their lamps, but they delayed in having the oil that will keep their lights burning. That's why they missed it. You will not delay. Number two, double-mindedness. Double-mindedness. Should I be saved? Shouldn't I be saved? Shall I give my life to the Lord? Shall I not give my life to the Lord? Should I do it now? Can I make it later? I'm still young. There's still time. And I still need to do this and this and this. All these daddies and mommies who are now saying they are born again. They have gone into the world before. And they have tasted all those sins of the world. And later, they came in. And they are now born again. And they have this double mind, double-mindedness. They don't know, you don't know when Christ will come. You don't know when you will die. If you're going to be saved, do it now. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Unstable. I will seek the Lord, I change my mind. I will get saved, I change my mind. I will forsake all the bad company, I change my mind. I will get born again, I change my mind. Is that double-mindedness that makes them to miss the kingdom? Point number three, disregard. Disregard. Just ignore. I hear, not ready, leave me alone. Disregard. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The greatest thing in your life, salvation. The greatest thing in your life, the new birth. The greatest thing in your life, the kingdom of God. The door is open and you are to enter. But you disregard, neglect. You remember Esau? He was hungry. He had a birthright. And then Jacob said, "You sell the birthright to me." And he said, "I'm at the point of death. What will the birthright do to me?" He disregarded the birthright. That's why he missed the opportunity. And at the time, he could have recovered, regained that birthright. There was no chance to repent. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God." There are some people who say, "The grace of God is there. The grace of God is enough for me. Anytime I'm ready, God, I'm not ready for you now. Salvation, I'm not ready now. Righteousness, I'm not ready now. Repentance, I'm not ready now. The grace of God is there. And the grace of God will always be there." How wrong you are. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. A day will come when the tears will not avail, when the sorrow will not avail, and when the seeking will not avail." Don't delay. Delay has caused many people to lose the opportunity of entering the kingdom. Be free from double-mindedness. Don't have disregard. Number four, denomination. Denomination. Can you imagine how denomination helps, hinders some people? Something that should have helped hinders them. Have you entered the kingdom? "I'm a member of Deeper Life. Dad and Mom are members of Deeper Life. Dad and Mom are serious, committed workers in Deeper Life. Are you born again?" Well, let me answer you this way. I am a worker in a Bible-believing church. And everybody knows me. If I'm not there, they will know. Can I tell you the name of my church? Deeper Life. They will miss heaven because of denomination. Their assurance is not based on Christ. It's not based on personal repentance. It's not based on turning away from sin, having the grace of God and the Spirit of God witnessing in their hearts, the children of God. It's denomination. Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, I read from verse 9. "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to raise, is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. The stones that don't have dad or mom in the church. The strangers that do not have father or mother in the denomination. God is able to raise up stones as children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree of whatever denomination, every tree of whatever assembly, every tree, no matter who the parents are, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Number five, drunkenness. That doesn't catch me. I don't drink. Look at this. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. It's not your mouth, your heart overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. You are following the fashion of the day. You are following the pursuit of the day. You are following the aspirations, ambitions of the day. It becomes like wine that intoxicates you. It takes the Bible from your hand. You are running a rat race with the rest of the world. It takes prayer from you. It takes sobriety from you. It takes seriousness from you. It takes the remembrance of the kingdom of God from you. Take it yourselves. Lest at any time, your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Not wine. The cares of this life. Somebody got it, I must get it. I want a second certificate. I want a second doctorate certificate. I want this, I want that, I want that. And while you are running after that, cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Number six, distraction. Distraction. What does that mean? You're going this way. You're hearing some noise behind you. You see some other things around. And because of that, you look back. You turn back. What's distracting you? You're coming to the Bible study. And then on the side of the road, there's some people clapping and playing guitar and mentioning something and singing. You're distracted. You branch there. You're seeking salvation. Oh, Lord, save me. Enough is enough. I must not continue in this evil way. And then somebody comes and he says, you know, I discovered a new business. And you have to plug in into this. You forget about the salvation. Distraction. Look at Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Luke 17, verse 32. Are you there? Have you opened Luke 17, 32? Read it. 1, 2, 3, go. Remember Lot's wife. She saw angels. Angels laid hold on her hands. Angels pointed to the way of escape. Angels said, hurry up. Sodom, Gomorrah will be burnt down to ashes. They were going destruction. All the herdsmen of Lot and the wife, they were back in Sodom. All the cattle, they were back in Sodom. Every sin they ever labored for, they were back in Sodom. Some of the children are married and they have in-laws over there. Are we going to live without them? Destruction. She looked back and she became a pillar of salt. I will not look back. Number 7, deafness. Deafness. Deaf to the call of the Spirit. Zechariah chapter 7. I read from verse 11. Zechariah chapter 11, chapter 7, verse 11. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Are they talking about salvation? I block my ears. I don't want to hear that. What I want to hear now, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What I want to hear now, ye are more than a conqueror. What I want to hear now is how every storm of life will be over. What I want to hear now is about faith, how I will remove every mountain. Salvation, I'm not ready for that yet. And they block their ears and they are deaf, deliberately deaf. I pray salvation will not miss you. Acts chapter 7, verse 57. Acts chapter 7, verse 57. It says in verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They stopped their ears. They will not hear. But thank God, I hear. Thank God, I hear. If we stop our life consuming speech and race towards an uncertain eternity, none of us need to be like Lot's wife. Stop. You're running too fast. The world is too much embedded in your soul. You see too much of the world. Ambition is taking away righteousness from you. Money is eating up your very heart. And the things of this world, they are becoming your life consuming fire. Stop. Think. Turn around. Don't become like Lot's wife. Don't become like Esau. Don't be like Balaam. And don't live your life like Saul, like Gehazi, like the mixed multitude, like Judas Iscariot, like Demas. If you miss heaven, there's no return from hell. Once you are there, think about it. To spend 5 minutes in hell, burning lake of fire, is unbearable. To spend 1 hour, to spend 1 day, to spend 1 year, to spend 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, forever and ever. Why are you going to throw your heart and your life away? Why are you going to spend eternity with Satan in hell? God forbid. I said, God forbid. Stop that rat race. Get on your thinking cap again and say, I will be wise. There's the pain of exclusion from the kingdom of God. But thank God, I will not miss heaven. I will not miss the kingdom of God. I said, I will not miss the kingdom of God. Point number three, our privilege in the eternal kingdom of God. Our privilege in the eternal kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Only one kingdom, not kingdoms. Kingdom of God. Eternal, everlasting, high, holy, great. It will never end. And it says your priority is that kingdom of God. Seek it. It doesn't come on somebody without seeking it. Your heart, your mind, your life must be there. And you seek it, forgetting every other thing that competes with the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You cannot seek that kingdom in isolation without righteousness. And then it says, all these things shall be added unto you. Addition will come. But don't make those added things number one. The number one thing is salvation. The number one thing is eternal life. The number one sin is you repent and you turn away from sin. Luke chapter 7, reading from verse 28. Luke chapter 7, verse 28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater than the prophet, greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Here is the highest and greatest promotion you can have. John the Baptist, greater than all men and women that ever lived before him. But now, the least in the kingdom. The least in the kingdom who has given his life, his heart unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and is a citizen of the kingdom, is greater than John the Baptist. What a great privilege. Luke chapter 20. I'm reading from verse 35. Luke chapter 20. Reading from verse 35. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. They are equal unto the angels. What a great privilege. Here we are, of the flesh. Only water and dust do we have in the body. But as we become citizens of the kingdom, it says, eventually, when we get to that everlasting kingdom, we'll be equal to the angels. And are the children of God, being the children of resurrection. Great privilege. You will not miss it. I will not miss it. But you know, repentance, very important. Salvation, very important. You must know the time. You cannot just say, I think I'm born again. No, that's not enough. You must know the day, the time, what you did, how you handed over your life unto the Lord, and the Spirit of God bore witness with your heart. that you have repented, you have believed, and there is a definite change of heart and life. And then you know that you know, without any shadow of doubt, I am a citizen of the kingdom. Luke chapter 22, reading from verse 18. Luke chapter 22, verse 18. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. What do you think? Sitting on the same table with Jesus, the Lord, the Savior, the Alpha and Omega, the Prince of Peace, the very Son of God, sitting on the same table in the kingdom of God and eating with him. That alone, that privilege alone, should make you to abandon every other sin and get into the kingdom. Verse 29. In verse 29, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me. What a great privilege. In verse 30, that she may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You say, those are the apostles. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Don't you know? As those apostles are judging the 12 tribes of Israel, you, saints of God, we, saints of God, shall judge the world. You didn't hear that one. Look at verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Even the fallen angels, we saints of God, will judge them. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Read from verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. What Paul fought is different from what you are fighting. He fought the beasts at Ephesus. You may just have to fight sleep that takes away prayer from you. Fight that sleep. You might have to fight the ambition that takes the interest of the kingdom away from your heart. Fight that ambition. You might have to fight the pressure from your family that says that you must not leave the family religion. Stay in the religion that doesn't get anyone to heaven. You might have to fight that. Whatever it is that will hinder you from getting to the kingdom, you will fight. It may be the fear of man. There's a man, there's a woman that will not allow you the freedom to obey the Lord and to get to the kingdom of God and to abide in the kingdom of God. You must obey the Lord. But as a man, as a woman, that's like a bully, a tyrant. And even the facial appearance terrifies you. And then you forget the kingdom. You cannot do that. If they will smash your head, you must get to the kingdom. If they're going to burn you up, you must get to the kingdom. No man on earth, no woman on earth will take the kingdom away from your hand. Say good amen to the Almighty God. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. You will not miss the kingdom. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I read from verse 11. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, if you're diligent to come into the faith, you are diligent to add virtue to that faith, add knowledge to that virtue, add temperance to that knowledge, add patience, perseverance to that self-control, add godliness to that perseverance, add brotherly kindness to that godliness, and add charity to that brotherly kindness. It says in verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, scanty. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him because of suffering, because of embarrassment, because of opposition, if we deny him, he also will deny us. You will not deny the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God as prepared for them that love him. We love him when the kingdom will remain in the kingdom. Eye has not seen, ears have not heard what we are going to have. The blessings of the kingdom will be ours in Jesus' name. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. I'm reading from verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. What about that? that will see the face of the Almighty, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And there they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign. And they shall reign, and we shall reign. I pray you will not miss that privilege. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people and nations and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Will you have part in that kingdom? Verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Whatever you are going through today, always remember that everlasting kingdom. Whatever may be the challenge today, always remember that everlasting kingdom. Whatever may be the persecution today, always remember that everlasting kingdom. Whatever may be the temptation for the cares of the world and for the ambition of the things of the world to sway you and to drag you away from the kingdom, remember the privilege we're going to have when we get on the other side. For all the citizens of the kingdom of God, many blessings and great blessings in value and in number await us. We have blessings now, and we have manifold eternal blessings that will be ours in the everlasting kingdom. What we may deny ourselves of are nothing in comparison with the glorious benefits we're going to have in that heavenly kingdom, in that eternal kingdom. God is preparing a kingdom. Will you be there? I will be there. The world behind me, the Lord before me, that kingdom I will not miss. I'll bear my cross. I'll bear my cross. I'll take every challenge. I'll fight anything that will draw me away from the kingdom. I will spread the message of the kingdom. And when that day shall come, I will be there. I will be there. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 and verse 3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise, are the wise virgins here today? They that be wise, are the wise children of God, are they here today? They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness are the stars forever and ever. I will not miss that kingdom for anything on earth. Whatever the devil may present to you, like glittering, shining gold, brush them aside. Focus on the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things you need will be added unto you. If you're not born again, don't delay. This is the time to be born again. If you're not born again, don't allow denominationalism. I'm a member of Deeper Life. I'm a member of that church. Don't allow that to be cloud you. You must be born again. If you're not born again, don't allow double-mindedness to hinder you. Be of one mind and focus on getting into the kingdom. Tonight is your night. If you're not born again yet, don't allow distraction to hinder you. Don't allow disregard for the heavenly virtue to hinder you. You're going to tell yourself and say, whatever it is the devil has been using, the drunkenness that makes your mind to be swayed and to be staggering like a drunken person, and you're seeking after the things of this world, don't allow that to hinder you. This kingdom is yours, and you must have it in Jesus' name. And nobody is rushing out like, you know, we sometimes do after the teaching. Instead of praying and praying through, then we're rushing for this and we're rushing for that. Don't allow anything to hinder you today. This is the time to enter in. If you are born again already, for you to be established in the kingdom, to abide in the kingdom, and for you to be built on the solid rock, so that whatever wind or waves may blow, that will not blow you away. You are going to make up your mind, become serious with the things of God, and say, this heavenly kingdom I will possess. And as you pray, the Lord will answer your prayer. Rise up now. We're going to pray. We came so that we can have the profit and the benefit from the kingdom of God. Nothing will hinder you. Nothing will stop you. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. Not just the usual prayer. Find out. Let the Spirit tell you, are you born again? Are you saved? Are you free from sin? Are you a citizen of the kingdom of God? Pray about that. If you're already born again, are you victorious? Are you more than a conqueror? Are you living the life that if the rapture should take place now, at this time, you will make it? Tell the Lord.
Don't allow distraction. Don't allow distraction. Moment of prayer. Call upon the Lord. Let him transform your life tonight. Make sure that you are born again. Don't allow distraction of any kind. This is the moment of prayer. To seek the Lord. To seek salvation. To seek righteousness. To seek the grace of God. To overcome distraction. To overcome the world. Open your heart and begin to cry. Open your heart and begin to call. The Lord will answer you tonight. You must seek that kingdom. You must press forward. You must seek righteousness. You must seek holiness. No distraction of any kind. Open your heart and begin to call upon the Lord. Open your heart and begin to pray. Pour down your heart. Pardon your hearts. Prayer is very important. Seek the grace of God. Seek His strength. Seek His power. Seek His grace for righteous living. To overcome the world. To overcome sin. To overcome distraction. Open your heart and pray. Nobody should move out. Don't be distracted. The moment of prayer. The moment of prayer. There must be a point of entering the kingdom. A point of division. A point of repentance. A point of definite decision for Christ. You must know how it happened. A conviction for a holy life. Righteous life. Open your mouth and pray. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. There must be a purpose of enduring for the kingdom. There must be a purpose of enduring temptation. There must be a point of salvation. A point of repentance. Pray. Remember the pain of exclusion. You can't afford to go through the pain. No. No. You can't afford to go through the pain. With the privilege we have hearing the word of God, privilege you have of hearing the truth, you can't afford the pain of being excluded from the kingdom. Remember the privilege awaiting you. Remember that privilege. Call upon the Lord. Don't allow anything. Don't allow delay. Don't allow delay. Decide immediately. Don't allow double-mindedness. Make up your mind to stand for righteousness. Don't disregard the call. How shall we escape if you disregard, neglect so great salvation? Don't allow that. Don't allow denominational barrier, consciousness of admonition. No. Let there be Christ consciousness, holiness consciousness, heaven consciousness. Pray. Pray. Don't be drunken with the things of this world. The sources, the achievements. No, don't allow that to distract you. Distraction by the pressures around. Distraction. Don't deafen your ears from the cry, from the call, from the preaching. Don't close your heart. Open your heart tonight. Open your heart tonight. You have been coming to deeper life. Over these years, where is the evidence of righteousness in your life? Sister and brother, you have been coming to the church. You may say you are a worker. Where is the evidence of righteousness? Of holiness, of Christ's righteousness. Be conscious of heaven. Be conscious of holiness. Let that be your pointer, pointing you to Christ, leading you to Christ. Otherwise, on the last day, the pain, the lamentation. I had a teaching, but I disregarded the pain of exclusion. I had a warning, lost wife. Don't wait. Don't delay. Decide now. Make up your mind. Decide now. What are the things fighting righteousness in your life? What are the things in your life? In your life, standing against righteousness. What are the things? The pressure of life, the pursuit of life, ambitions of life. This is a time to seek the Lord. The Lord will transform your life. There will be evidence of real transformation. Evidence of genuine repentance. A time of prayer. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. That great privilege is awaiting you at the end of time. But there must be genuine repentance, evidence of salvation, definite change of heart, change of life. Let nothing on earth, let no man, let no woman, let no personality distract you, hinder you from making heaven, from standing for holiness, righteousness. Remember, you are going to be seated in glory with Jesus. You are going to eat with Jesus Christ in the kingdom. Remember, the glory awaits you. Therefore, fight the good fight of faith. Fight destruction. Fight worldly ambition. Fight family pressure. Fight even the fear of man. Fight anything that has the tendency to stand against holiness, against your drive, against your pursuit, against heaven. Fight against that. Tonight, night of prayer, seeking the Lord. Night of prayer, seeking the strength of heaven. Night of prayer, the Lord will transform you. He will transform you. He will empower you for holy living. He will empower you to overcome trials, temptations, pressures, and whatever around you. You will be victorious. Pray. You will overcome. You will overcome. You will overcome. This is a moment of prayer. A moment of prayer. A moment of prayer. A moment of prayer. Pour your heart. Pour your heart unto the Lord. Ask for the grace to overcome whatever your peculiar challenge, whatever your peculiar temptation, whatever your peculiar pressure, whatever your peculiar ambition. Ask the Lord to grant you the grace to empower you with divine nature, the nature of holiness, to empower you with the grace of God to overcome the world. Call upon the Lord. Don't close your heart from the warning, from the teaching, from the persuasion, from the preaching. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Demas. Remember Judas. Pray that God will help you to stand and keep standing, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Keep your conviction, your focus on holiness, on righteousness, every day of your life, and whatever you cannot do, that holiness, give it up. Give it up. Whatever in life you cannot do, that holiness, give it up. Give it up. At any point in time, a pursuit, a program, a project is contending with holiness in your life. Give it up. Give it up. As precious as your right eyes, give it up. As precious as your right hand, give it up. Pray. The Lord will empower you. You are going to overcome. You are going to overcome. Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a kingdom for you. For you. For you. For you. What on earth can take that kingdom away? Fight. Fight with your last strength. Fight in prayer. Night prayer. Fight with sleep. Fight the weariness. Fight the weakness. Fight, my brother. Fight, my sister. Fellow believer, fight. The Bible says fight. Jesus says fight. We are going to fight. Where we fight. Where we fight. Where we'll overcome. Where we'll overcome. You will overcome. I say you will overcome. You will overcome. Whatever challenge, be courageous. Whatever obstacle, you surmount it. Be courageous. Be courageous. Be courageous. Be determined. Be decided. The Lord will give you strength. Time of weakness, He will strengthen you. Time of temptation, He will give you victory. Only make up your mind. Make up your mind. Life of death, you'll overcome. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Whatever the world offer, you'll overcome. Whatever the world deny you, you'll overcome. Make up your mind. Be decided. Be determined. You will make it. You will make it. You will make it. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary for your precious souls cannot be in vain. Draw the line. Draw the line. Draw the line. Tell yourself. Tell the world. Tell Jesus Christ, I am coming home. I will see you in glory. And tell the devil. Tell the devil, he has lost the battle. He has lost the battle. You will make it at the end. You will overcome temptations. You will overcome all trials of life. You will be victorious in Jesus' name. You will be victorious in Jesus' name. We thank you, Heavenly Father. You have spoken to us tonight in a wonderful way. The message is clear. The word is clear. Lord, we have heard it clearly. And by your divine grace, we have made up our minds. We are saying, oh Lord, we are going to fight. We are saying, oh Lord, we shall fight. Give us all that grace and stamina to fight the battle of faith in Jesus' name. We've counted the cost. We've made up our mind. We will overcome this world. And so, Father, we pray that every one of us will overcome the world in Jesus' name. Moses told Pharaoh, none of us will be left behind. Our children, our young ones, they are going with us. And so, Father, we are promising you, Lord, we are not leaving anyone behind. And we are praying, oh Lord, the grace upon our fathers, upon our mothers, upon our youth, upon our children, abound greatly in Jesus' name. We are telling the devil, you will not have any member of the church. We are telling the world, you have no place in the church. We are saying, we have decided, we have determined, we will make it to the end in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, we are praying that this day you increase our strength, you increase our faith, you sharpen our vision, you strengthen our spiritual path, and give us all it takes to be victorious at the end in Jesus' name. Paul fought the good fight. We shall fight the good fight. Anywhere, anytime, neighborhood, place of work, community over there, grant us the grace to fight the good fight of faith in Jesus' name. Father, strengthen our pastors. Grant them inner strength, more visions, more grace, and help me, Lord, to fight the good fight of faith to the end. As Paul ended gloriously, he will end gloriously. He will see us in heavens. Thank you, blessed Father. Jesus' name we pray.